one American at a time.
Here we are at the start of the week on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Of course, each and every show we go inside the Beltway with the true insiders from Talk Radio News. Always fun to have Victoria Jones on. Victoria, big story, of course, is what happened with Herman Cain, these two women that supposedly were paid off because they say they were sexually harassed by Cain in another life in the 90s. And he said today at the National Press Club that he was falsely accused. What do you know about that?
Well, and it seems like there may be sort of more women, but there were certainly these two women, according to the Politico story. Well, so interesting. You know, I took notes of what he said at the press club, and what he said at the press club was that he'd never sexually harassed anybody, and he had no knowledge of the payouts. Well, very shortly after that, he gave an interview to Fox News, and shortly after that, he gave an interview to the PBS NewsHour, in which he recalled details of cash settlements and financial agreements. I wasn't aware that an agreement was reached. The word settlement versus the word agreement, you know, I'm not sure what they called it. And he says, oh, maybe 3 months' salary. I don't remember. It might have been 2 months. I do remember my general counsel saying we didn't pay all of the money they demanded. This after saying about an hour or two before that he had no knowledge whatsoever of any settlement. So that's one. So he's completely changed his tune on that within an hour. So what was true, I don't know. And in the PBS interview with Judy Woodruff, he said some very interesting things. Left some wiggle room, whether he'd ever behaved in an inappropriate way. In my opinion, no. But as you would imagine, it's in the eye of the person who thinks that maybe I crossed the line. Which is a very odd answer.
And then it is.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. And then she asked him whether any of the women who accused him had been asked to meet him in a hotel room, because one of the women says she was. That I absolutely do not recall. You know, I have no recollection of that. Well, why didn't he say no?
Right. No, of course. I never did that. Yeah.
He didn't say no.
Wow. And this is that kind of story, that, and like you said, Politico broke it, that doesn't go away. There's a lot of people digging now. There's a lot of excavating going on with this story, right?
Oh, a lot of excavating going on with this story. And, I mean, his story's changing by the day. I mean, Politico was working on this story for nearly 2 weeks and was in touch with his campaign. And who refused to talk to them for days and days and days before they started to respond by basically saying that it was a smear campaign. They have said to Cain before publication, this is the name of one of the women. So that they've given him an opportunity. They said, this is the name of one of the women. And he said, I'm not going to comment on that.
Ooh, and then in the meantime, while all this is going to, I think this is going to keep on going, Mitt Romney and Rick Perry's camps both said, hey, we didn't plant that. There was some big story about that, too.
Right. Romney and Perry's campaigns are flatly denying any involvement in pushing the story. Perry's spokesperson, Mark Miner, saying every time one of the other campaigns gets a bad story, they try to blame us. It's way off base. It's completely inaccurate. And Romney's campaign saying, we had absolutely nothing to do with it. So because, you see, Cain was asked whether he thought another campaign had dug up the information. And he said, I told you this bullseye on my back has gotten bigger. Mm. And then later on, he admitted that he had no idea whether any other campaign had promoted the story.
Yeah. And, of course, you've covered politics for a long time. When you're fair game, once you get into that arena, everybody's looking for you. Everybody. You have a bullseye on your back as far as everyone's concerned, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
definitely.
I think so.
Yeah, all sides, all around. Because of course, if they can dig something up, I mean, it just depends. Because it's like the Ides of March, the movie that's out now, where George Clooney's in it and Ryan Gosling's in it. You might not have seen it yet, but it portrays that whole thing. Ooh, we're not going to play dirty politics. So then, of course, the Democrats and the Republicans are doing the same thing.
Yeah. No, I saw the play, which was called Farragut North, after the metro station.
Sure. So you know.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, it is fascinating. The movie's good, too. So now the House, too, they've got a bill about leaving. I don't know what it's called, but a bill about leaving In God We Trust in place. This has been a big controversy for a while now.
Yes, Representative Randy Forbes, Republican of Virginia, is sponsoring this bill. They're going to vote on it tomorrow, assuring that In God We Trust stays put, and it would encourage public buildings, schools, and government facilities to display the phrase. And they say, it says that this phrase and sentiments behind it have been an integral part of the United States. And it sends a message that it's not only written in the halls of our federal buildings, it's a bedrock upon which our nation's built. So it's got a lot of co-sponsors, but some Democrats are making their complaints known. Five House Democrats are saying that the bill creates unnecessary and excessive government entanglement with religion. We must remember that the U.S. is comprised of people of many faiths, as well as those who do not hold any religious beliefs as is their right. The passage of this resolution would, as Justice Sandra Day O'Connor warned, send a message to the American people that our governor favors religion, and specifically one type of religion, over another in violation of the endorsement test.
But this shouldn't have, once this goes up, I mean, that probably just goes right through, right?
Well, it's going to be voted on under suspension of the rules, under which it requires a two-thirds vote from the House for final passage. It'll probably get it. I don't know how it'll do in the Senate. It'll probably do okay in the Senate.
Yeah, because it's tough. You got to look at the base. They're going to look at their constituents, I think. And that's, I mean, this is one that riled up a lot of people on both sides of it, for sure. Speaking of both sides, the Senate Budget Committee ranking member Jeff Sessions said sometime on Monday that the Senate Dems are looking to hide a spending increase in this so-called minibus bill that they're looking into later this week. Explain that. What do they mean, minibus?
Well, they've got to pass 12 appropriations bills before the 18th of November when the government runs out of money again. So because that's so many bills to pass, 12 in the House and 12 in the Senate, they know they can't do it because they've left it so late. So they're putting them into what they call, rather than an omnibus bill, which would be putting everything in one bill, which becomes unmanageable, they put them in what they call minibuses. Which is where they put several individual bills together. So the first minibus was funding for agriculture, commerce, justice, transportation, housing, and urban development. So the next one is going to be energy, financial services, and state. So they bundled. Basically, they're bundled.
I gotcha. And of course, you know, then the finger pointing begins, because, as I just said when I threw the question to you, is it about hiding a spending increase? That's what some Republicans are saying, not just Jeff Sessions. And it's that same contest back and forth, I think.
Right, exactly. And they are controversial, because the one coming up that I just mentioned, the spending bill, financial services, and state are controversial because a state has cuts to foreign aid that are opposed by the administration, and the financial service one sets off a battle with the House over provisions defunding Dodd-Frank. And in the energy bill, it's almost certainly going to resurrect calls by House Republicans to get rid of green energy subsidies that the Obama administration likes.
Yeah, so that's big. So we'll pay attention to that and see what happens there. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Greetings again. This is John Swenson at Midas Resources, your source for gold and silver. You know, I have the same crystal ball that you have when it comes to what's just around the corner. But we both know that there's nothing on the financial horizon that looks very good. The single measure of good news is that precious metals continue to outperform everything else out there. Right now is a time to take a hard look. Pricing is more attractive now than it's been in many months. Historically and traditionally, this is when prices rise the fastest. They haven't, and opportunity's knocking. Please give me a call, 800-686-2237, extension 128. I promise you an informative, no pressure, no-nonsense conversation. We might even have some grins. This is John Swenson at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 128. Just make that call. Thanks.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection action so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
About a bombing in Afghanistan and the fact that now in Kabul, 9 Americans dead. They're talking about what this bombing is tied to. This is too often a conversation here on America Tonight. We bring our friend and terrorism expert Jeff Atticott on the show now to talk about that and a few other things in the Middle East. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing good, Kate.
Talk about the bombing. Initially, I know you always have a gut reaction when you hear about these things. I could just see you physically just shaking your head.
Well, you know, a lot of the convoys that we have in Afghanistan, we don't have proper armor to protect the vehicles, and some of them are even driving Isuzus. So it's a very dangerous environment, and particularly when the enemy knows that that we are committed to leaving 30,000 by right before the elections, and then the rest of the troops out within a year and a half after that, they you know, they have the upper hand, and the civilian population knows that when we leave, things are going to spiral down very rapidly into chaos. So we're not getting the cooperation that we would like to see, of course, from a lot of the villagers. The Karzai government, of course, is corrupt up to its hilt. They've recently said that if there's a war between the United States and Pakistan, they would side with, Pakistan. So, you know, it's a very uncomfortable feeling. Our soldiers on the ground, you know, their morale is low. They know that that the rules of engagement are stacked against us. They know that no matter how many of these Taliban or their jihadists that you kill, that it's really meaningless because more will take their place, because everybody knows that the rules of engagement have been set by the Obama administration, that we're letting our enemy know that you've won, we're leaving, just, you know, hold on a little while longer. So they're going to increase their attacks to demonstrate that that they are driving us out in their own minds.
Yeah, and once again, and the ties with this terrorism network, they have ties to the Pakistani intelligence group. So it's like you said, all hands on deck, but who cares, to no avail, because the entire time we've been in Afghanistan, they have safe havens in that country. Seems a little bit ridiculous. Like you said, hands are tied. What are you supposed to do?
Yeah, you know, the Pakistanis, we paid them billions of dollars, and they know how to play us like an old violin. Every once in a while, they'll throw us a bone, and they'll, you know, arrest a leader here or a leader there. Of course, they have to allow our drones to strike. And but they know that the drone attacks are really more show than tell. There's an article that's going to come out in the Wall Street Journal here shortly about the drones, that the vast majority of people that are killed in the Obama administration are low-level individuals. They're not senior or mid-grade lieutenants in any of the terror organizations. So it's the price they pay to get the billions of dollars that we are giving them. But there's no love lost between Pakistan and the United States.
Yeah, if you had the play, if it was up to you and you had a say in this and you were part of the what I'll call the war room, what would you say the next play should be?
Well, we, you know, as I said before on your show, we had a golden opportunity to get out with our heads held high with victory in our wings when we killed Osama bin Laden, but that window has closed. The president wasn't able to take advantage of that golden opportunity to spin this into a victory. So we've got to have some type of a significant event in order for us to get out. I would say if we could kill the number two guy, which is Zawahiri, the Egyptian doctor that's always been at the right hand of Osama bin Laden, if we can kill him, then we've got another opportunity to declare victory, and maybe they can figure it out. But other than that, no, there is, you know, it's very difficult to find a signpost in this war where you can say, hey, we have won, because you've got to do that in order to declare victory, because there's no other way to achieve victory.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned the vehicles at the top, talking about that it's crazy some of the things that are being driven around and budgets and whatever reason, and you think of the IEDs and how are they supposed to be protected against that. And now the Pentagon is looking at even deeper cuts. Should that automatic trigger go off if the super committee doesn't come up with an alternative plan? There'll be deep cuts, more cuts to the defense budget. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that's the one thing you don't want to cut. Obviously, the defense budget has fraud, waste, and abuse. Every governmental agency has fraud, waste, and abuse. But, you know, you've got to start with the other agencies first. That's where all of our freedom flows, is through the military. And that's our strongest institution that we really have in this country, the only institution that the people seem to be supporting. If you look at the polls about the president and Congress, nobody trusts them worth a darn. But yeah, this is not the place you want to start cutting. You're cutting into the meat without cutting any of the fat, and that's pretty absurd.
Yeah. Got to ask you about this one. Last time we were talking about the situation, the craziness and the stories that came out about the Saudi ambassador, and was there going to be an attempted assassination of him, you know, the Saudi ambassador to Washington, and now Iran demanding an apology and money as well for that story floating, saying it's destroying their reputation.
Yeah, that's kind of humorous. But you would have thought that the Obama administration would have released some emails or some hard evidence. They never did. They just made the accusation. They're charging this guy with the offense. But when you accuse another nation state to essentially plan an attack on your soil at the very highest levels, you've got to do something more than say, oh, wow. And that's about all the Obama administration has done. They've done nothing about it. So if it's true, it's kind of bizarre that they haven't taken strong action. And if it's not true, then, you know, that's very troubling, too, that they would make these accusations.
Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely. And we don't know. Will we ever get to the bottom of that? As much as you can be an investigative reporter and try, I'm telling you, in every corner you get shut down. And it's just curious that if we think back to probably, what was it, 3.5 weeks ago, it was the FBI director, Robert Mueller, who was also there with Eric Holder, the attorney general, releasing all this cockamamie information, which I didn't think originally it was, Jeff. And then talking to you and talking to some other people, it's very strange. It makes no sense to me, unless it's a smokescreen maybe for Operation Fast and Furious and try to get Holder out of that mess.
Yeah, the Fast and Furious thing just keeps growing. Now we've got Janet Napolitano like a deer in the headlights when she was testifying here recently. You know, dumb and dumber is a good description of the two, if they're that incompetent or they're both lying.
Yeah, and I guess we'll see. We'll see if they're able to nail anything at that, because I think that's going to keep on going. I think, you know, that ICE is like a dog with a bone. He's not going to let it go. Good for him. How about Syria? You know, you and I are always talking about the Middle East. We haven't talked that much about Syria and what's happening there. It's now there's like all of a sudden this threat to the West. Don't you dare come here.
Yeah, I mean, they've killed 3,000 now and counting, and the UN Security Council is just now deauthorizing the no-fly zones over Libya. You know, Syria is going to stay Syria because the Assad there, he realizes that if you're going to be a brutal dictator, you better be a brutal dictator, and he's not about to leave power. He's got the military behind him, and he simply kills anyone that stands in his way. But the UN's not going to do anything. That's pretty clear after the Libya fiasco, because now we found out in Libya that there are stockpiles of chemical weapons, and now they're going to be in the hands of these jihadists that are going to take over the government.
Yeah, wow. And so you think if you're Israel in this, you got to be worried. You got to be concerned about, so you have these dictators go down, but at the same time, you didn't have to worry about them, so to speak. Now, as you just said it, you have these Islamic jihadists and the possibilities there. I think if you're Benjamin Netanyahu, you have to be a little bit concerned, don't you?
Yeah, I've talked to some Israelis recently at the pretty high levels of the military and ex-military, and, you know, basically all of Israel is afraid, not so much for the Arabs, but because of the relationship they have with the United States right now under the Obama administration. If you look at poll after poll, Obama's ratings, you know, approval ratings in Israel is like 4%. They're very concerned about a president and the United States, of course, that will not be backing them in the next conflict, and that concerns them because Israel doesn't take any action without the approval or the assistance of the United States, and the Obama administration has made it very clear that he will not allow them to attack Iran. Now, that's a fact. He has disrupted the plans that the Bush administration was laying, and he has made it very clear to them that, nope, you are not going to attack Iran. We will not support you, and so he is tying their hands behind their back.
Wow. The Iraq troop pullout, you know, that officially, it's interesting when that was all announced. I think people forgot that, remember, and I know you know this, Bush really negotiated that because it was Nouri al-Maliki who came up with the date of 2011. So this was part of the process, but okay. So, you know, there's the conversation and Obama says we're going to pull all the troops out in December. What about war reparations? Are we going to hear anything about that?
No, I mean, it was the job of the Obama administration to negotiate a new SOFA. And, you know, that's probably a pretty good date when we cut this deal years back under the Bush administration, because you got to have a time when you renegotiate your SOFA. Obama made no efforts to renegotiate a SOFA because he never wanted to stay in Iraq. And if he did make the efforts, then it's another failure because Hillary couldn't get a status of forces agreement to extend our stay. The Iraqi military wants us to stay. There's no question about it. We need to stay because, as I said, it's the fourth quarter of a football game. We're 2 touchdowns ahead. And Obama, the quarterback, says, well, let's pull all of our players off the field and see what happens. Well, it's going to be chaos. That's what's going to happen. They're not quite ready. And it looks like, you know, defeat. We're running out the door in 2 months. And that's not a good signal.
No, I agree with
you. Power vacuum.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeff Atticott, terrorism expert, as always, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with 2 black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You can bet your life on eFoods Direct. Alex has told you about the amazing, great-tasting, long-term storable food from eFoods Direct and how a food savings account is your best insurance against natural disasters, job loss, and high food costs. But did you know that this dehydrated food also protects you against foodborne contaminants like E. coli and salmonella? Those poisonous critters can't live in low-moisture food from eFoods Direct. Ask for the Alex Fall Special. The Fall Special is a 24-day supply of food in a convenient, portable container, a $259 value for only $199. Save $60 on 160 servings of the best food on the planet. Call 800-409-5633 and ask for the Alex Fall Special and go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 24 hours, 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
America, we got a crowded planet, officially 7 billion. That's the number that we hit on Monday. A lot of people laying claim to having the 7 billionth baby, so there's celebrations all over the place. Here we are in America tonight. Many of you who normally would be able to listen to this show and call in don't even have power in Connecticut and New Jersey and parts of Maine and Massachusetts. It's still a nightmare because so many people had power lines go down. On the tracks in the New Jersey Transit, what happened was trees fell and lines fell, and that's why they weren't running the trains and still had trouble on Monday as well. Governor Chris Christie talked about the Garden State and the struggles because of the power outage.
I know that there's many people across New Jersey in nearly 400,000 homes who are still frustrated by the fact that they don't have power. We reached a peak of nearly 750,000 residents that were impacted by the outage over the weekend. While a considerable number are back online now, we still have nearly 400,000 who need their power back.
Yeah, and that's tough. And it was Halloween, so there was a lot of people that weren't trick-or-treating because they didn't want to do it in the dark, figuring it'd be just a little bit risky. And it's just a question of wait. But it's not like waiting for the cable guy. You know, we've all been there, right? Haven't you waited for the cable guy? They tell you you have that window, and you had to take a day off from work. Darn. And you're sitting there, you're impatient, you're pacing around, you're waiting. This is much bigger. And this storm was so significant. 13 people dead as a result of it. I mean, there's real devastation here. Who's thinking October you're going to have this kind of a snowstorm? And all totaled, when you're talking about 1.6 million homes that didn't have power on Monday, that woke up Monday, no power, schools were closed. I mentioned the trees being a terrible problem when it came to the trains running in and out of the city and whatnot. You have traffic problems because of that. Because, of course, traffic signals were down, too. And it was just a mess. Some of your more crowded areas, let's say, some of the suburbs and some of the cities, too. And this storm was all the way from West Virginia to Maine from Saturday until late Sunday. It just depended on what you got. Did you get black ice? Did you get a lot of snow that actually stuck on the ground, like the 32 inches that they found in Peru? I think that they take the cake now for the most. It was this town's in western Massachusetts, and the National Weather Service says they measured 32 inches. So it's awful all the way around, depending on your area and what it was that you God, it's funny, and I said this on a previous show. It's like when you look ahead to the weather, because we're all weather junkies, and you look ahead and you see the 5-day forecast. You know, the weather person always comes on and does that. Stay tuned for the 5-day forecast. Looks like there could be a little snow in store, and you say, really, snow? And so you stick around and you watch, and you see that there might be. Yeah, none of the stuff that's going to really stick. And then if it's not the opposite thing. And because of what it does to the lines, it's always the lines. In Connecticut, the governor there, Daniel Malloy, said, listen, we have 100 state roads that are closed. And then we've got another 200 that are partially closed in some spots. It's incredibly hard to get around the state. And the power outages, and there have been plenty of times where in Connecticut they've had power outages because of storms, tropical storms, of terrible high winds, that kind of stuff. He says, absolutely, this is the worst that we've seen in this state. So hotels in Connecticut sold out. I don't care what hotel was, sold out. I mean, central Connecticut especially, boom, done. You had four JetBlue planes that had to be, well, there were 17 in all, but you had four that had to wait for hours, hours upon hours. Nine, I think, was the most. People were furious, didn't understand what was going on. And who's thinking, like if I'm the superintendent of a school and they prepare for these things, am I thinking we're going to have a snow day before Thanksgiving? No, I'm not even possible in my wildest imagination is that something that I'm thinking about. But how about it? You never know. It is a bag of tricks. Halloween Eve. We're pretty spooky for a lot of people. Hey, coming up before we hit the exits here on ATN for this hour anyway, we have some of the political mashup coming up. Herman Cain is the big story over the whole sexual allegations and changing stories a little bit. You heard at the top Victoria talking to me from Washington and what the take on the story was. With the women, was there more women? What's the deal? Was it these two women? What did he know? What doesn't he know? Or what isn't he saying? That kind of stuff. My question is, no matter what, does he weather it? Because, you know, there's innuendo, accusations, truths, and then lies, and then the half what's in between. That's how it spins in Washington. And it's about the perception. So does it do any damage to him? What's interesting, and the reason I bring up Cain and part of what we're going to talk about next, is in Texas, Rick Perry, for the pounding he's taking nationally, and he is because he was in double digits, fell to single digits in the last month. He's been terrible. But in Texas, they did a poll at the University of Texas, and the Texas Tribune found that Cain is still leading the Republican field in the Lone Star State, but Rick Perry, because you would think he would get a bounce in his own state, still had a lot. It was this close. So Cain had 27 percent. And Texas is a big state when you talk about electoral votes. So 27 for Kane, 26 for Perry. That's in that margin of error window. So they're pretty much tied. And then Congressman Ron Paul, he came in third, and he is popular in his district, certainly, and a lot of people in Texas love Ron Paul. I don't think this is surprising. Maybe it's surprising it was a little bit higher. He got 12% for what it's worth for this particular poll. There's so many of them out. The reason to me it's interesting is because you have several, two Texans, longtime politicians who were part of this, and, you know, where did they rate? In approval ratings, Perry's was at 44%. How about that? 39% disapproving of how he's governed the state. And I guess most Texans don't agree with Perry's campaign message that he's led the state to prosperity. Others will tell you, well, wait a second, let's talk about oil. Let's talk about the difference of some other things that have happened during the time that he's been the governor of Texas. But close to home, you would think he would get the vote of confidence, and he did. He pretty much is on the same level as Kane in that one, but certainly a different story when it comes to any of the national polls. Completely different there because he's struggling in all of them, like I said, in the single digits where, you know, when you're coming up with 6% and whatnot, that's not acceptable to keep holding on to that number. But you're trying to get to the caucuses and you're trying to get to ultimately the primaries. That's where the true litmus test will be. You get to by the time you get to March, which is when the Texas primary is, I want to say it's March 6th, then you start to get a clearer picture of what's going to really emerge and who's going to be the who's going to ultimately be the front runner as you get closer into the summer of calling it, where someone flat out is going to get the nomination and you know it. And now it's just the undercard. Who's the VP? You know, who's going to be the person on that ticket that's going to help push it over in the right direction? Before we get to all of the stuff about Herman Cain, though, Steve Jobs, you know, it seems like since his death, of course, all you hear is Jobs this, Jobs book. A lot of people talking about Steve Jobs and his impact on our world, which I think is pretty significant. But Steve Jobs' sister, Mona Simpson, did a eulogy at his memorial service, and that happened on the other day. And in the eulogy, she talked about his final words from his deathbed. Check this out. You got to love this. What do you think a guy like Steve Jobs, who had the chance to do everything, to accomplish amazing things, to go anywhere he wanted to go, had tons of money, whatever. But it wasn't really about the money for him, except for that it allowed the travel and the other things. And plus, he had a family. The words from his deathbed were this: oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow. That was the final moments in Palo Alto. That's the hospital where he was, which is right there in Stanford. And his family was around him. And, you know, his breathing just would get shorter. And as his breath was getting shorter, that's what he said. I think that's incredible. You know, how often, though, does anyone share the really, truly the final thing they heard from somebody on their deathbed? And the fact that he said that, that's usually it's just kind of a, especially if there's a lot of pain and they're morphed up, the breathing thing would happen, and maybe there'd be conversation, a little bit of conversation before that. But I think that's what if they bury him somewhere, I don't know what happened, if he was cremated or was buried, I think they should put that on his tombstone. Oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow. That absolutely says it all. Never heard that before. And this is a guy who suffered from pancreatic cancer. For a long time, he had that pain. Oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hvextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hvextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
We want to know. How do you use WebEx?
When I travel, I use WebEx for face-to-face meetings with clients online. We share documents and presentations, and they know, even though I'm not in the office, I'm always available to them. WebEx is awesome.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others, anytime, anywhere, on their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
But some people are trying to rattle his cage, no doubt, looking for some skeletons in his closet. Kane says, listen, these harassment claims are baseless, easy for me to say. There are no skeletons in my closet. And I said this, you know, all along. When someone like Kane runs, he's a non-politician, business guy. He says it like he thinks it is, right? He absolutely has already ticked off a ton of people. And so he's a target anyway. I mean, really, anyone who's running is a target. That's just the way it is. They're going to try to cut you off at the knees and ask Ron Paul about that, because Ron Paul gets thrown in the nut category, even though half of what he's talked about in the past decade, other people are embracing his ideas. But he wasn't embraced by the mainstream media by any stretch of the imagination. So Herman Cain is embraced a little bit by the mainstream media, but there are definitely people that are gunning for him. However, if there is truth to it, well, that's a whole different story. You know, what's true and what's false? The perception thing is what you have to be concerned about, the people around the candidate, because that can bring you down no matter what. It's like when the newspaper, when it was popular, when they used to print stories and then they had to retract them. Sure, they would retract something from a story that could be so damaging, but it's too late. It's already out there and people have read the headline. They're not reading page 6 at the back of page 6 that says that we made a mistake accusing so-and-so, blah, 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 of whatever. It doesn't matter. It's too late. It's already out there, and it's very hard to come back from some of the devastating things that you could be accused of, things you're blindsided with. So was he blindsided? Is there truth to it? Are they trying to cover it up? Are there going to be more people digging? And, of course, there are going to be more people digging. Here's some of what Herman Cain had to say earlier on Monday.
In all of my over 40 years of business experience, running businesses and corporations, I have never sexually harassed anyone. It was concluded after a thorough investigation that it had no basis. As far as a settlement, I am unaware of any sort of settlement. I hope it wasn't for much because I didn't do anything. I have never sexually harassed anyone. And those accusations are totally false. I told you this bullseye on my back has gotten bigger. I have no idea. We have no idea the source of this witch hunt.
Now, that part is true. They don't know who initially kicked the door open to Politico, whoever did that, planted the story, sent them the story, whatever, and then they were off to the races with it. And there's something, well, Politico has printed, there's something to that when it comes to the Restaurant Association and two women leaving. Were they paid off? What were their accusations? You know, all that stuff. There is a file on that. But nobody's heard from the two women, so you don't know the story there. I guarantee that everybody's looking, and it's very tough. You know, I tried to make a couple of calls, and of course you're gonna get run over on this one because everybody's digging into it now. Politico broke the story wide open, and everybody else is trying to feed on it and see where it goes. And I'll be curious as to what ultimately they turn up on this, or what's turned up on this, I should say. If it just kind of withers away because there's a lot of smoke, but there's no true fire underneath this, or there's something more to it. And then the bottom line is, he was running the organization. There was somebody that was fired and then tried to come back after that. So does it sting? Does it stick? And that's the key. No matter what, does it stick? If you're the campaign person, that's exactly, you know, the campaign managers, that's what you're looking for. Does it stick in any of these stories? That's all it's about. It's about winning. It's about getting the win for any of the people around the candidate, including the president himself. Whatever they deflect, whatever they can deflect and not have it stick to him, that's what they're looking for. So it's the same thing here with Cain. So far, it really hasn't affected him yet in the polls, but this all just happened. It all just happened, so it's starting, more of it's starting to eke out, let's say. Tomas in Michigan, hello.
I believe that Herman Cain wasn't prepared for this. I mean, you know that they're going to throw that at you. And, you know, he would have just hit it out of the park if he would have said, oh, you mean like President Clinton? You mean like the Monica Lewinsky thing?
Oh, no way. No way do you turn to somebody else, though. You know that. They're not going to point a finger at another politician. They're not going to point a finger at a politician and say, well, what about him and what about her? He can't do that. But people around him can do it. Yeah.
Well, I would have done it. I would have gone on the offense. And they said, look, if you want to come up with all this, this stuff, you know, we can just, drag up, the past and, you know, talk about Mr. Wiener over there and, you know. So, you know, he needs to, be prepared for these type of things, you know. Then, I'm sure that, there's probably somebody gonna accuse him of, animal cruelty and, you know, they're gonna accuse him of, child abuse, something about probably his academic records, and he needs to turn that on his political opponents. He says, well, you know, you want to look at my academic records, let me see Obama's. Of course, no one has seen Obama's because they're locked away.
Now, that's true. You could do that. If somebody started to ask you stuff about your background, your degree, your business background, any of that kind of stuff, you could turn the tables there. I think with anything with harassment or women, if you're a male candidate, I don't think you want to throw the blame on somebody else. But certainly, you're right. He should have been prepared for that, because if somebody really, it's called vetting the person. If somebody vetted him correctly, they would have said, all right, let's think about it. Have you had business problems? Have you fired women? Have you fired guys? Have you had any lawsuits filed against you? Have you, you know, all that stuff you would really go through with a fine tooth comb. And so either they just ignored it or just didn't think it was a big deal. I think they just didn't think it was a big deal.
I think he thought he was going to have a chance at all. And all of a sudden, he finds himself in first place, just
true.
Like Obama. You know,
true.
Obama.
True.
I don't think Obama thought he was going to have a chance. He just wanted to get a little name recognition, and then down the road, maybe, you know, become VP, and then maybe, you know, when he was 50, become president. I'm in first place. So,
you know what? Sure, there could be something to that too, because it's like my brother said. Listen, you get the publicity, and you're someone like him, and suddenly you're selling books, and the PACs are buying up your books, and you're a best selling author, and you're doing book signings and making a ton of money on it, which is what happened to Obama too. And in this case, I agree with you. I don't think Kane thought. I don't think the people around Kane. I don't know if I would say him. I don't think the people around him thought he was going to zip up that quickly. Because I did meet a couple of people back in June, that one from Michigan and one from Washington, two Republican strategists, different kinds of strategists, and they both told me his name. They both thought that he had a real chance, and I was surprised because I kept thinking, oh, establishment guys, Mitt Romney, and you know, maybe outside Ron Paul, but he just doesn't get that mainstream push, and he doesn't get the party push, which is why that hint about him maybe in a third party was kind of interesting when that came out a couple of days ago. He didn't really flat out say no way, but he could cause some problems for the Republicans if he were to do that. So for Kane, it's just really a question of, what do you think? Is it going to stick, or does it fade away? And if more comes out, or somebody comes forward, or something else crazy happens, then the skeletons can't dance back into the closet. And so is it much ado about nothing? Is there something more to it? And do people really care at this point? Richard Armour was the guy who said, politics, it seems to me, for years, or all too long, have been concerned with right or left instead of right or wrong.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time?